Well, good evening to all of you. It is great to see you here tonight and thankful for this attendance. I know we've got several that are visiting with us this evening. We want you to know that it is an honor and privilege to have you here with us this evening. We got a lot of festivities and activities to get to tonight following our service, but we're thankful that you're here so that you can hear this message. I gave you a little preview this morning about what we were going to be talking about tonight. Scary stories from the Bible with a haunting message. We felt like that's pretty appropriate for the events of this evening. And of course, tomorrow being the holiday of Halloween that everybody enjoys and kids go and get candy. And so we enjoy that. But we are going to be talking about several things this evening from the Scriptures. Appreciate Logan reading for us Hebrews 10:31 just a few moments ago. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want to ask a couple of questions to begin with. Have you ever truly been terrified by something? I don't know if maybe you've had this experience, but I know I have. There have been some times when I have been completely terrified by some things that have been happening. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a kid, teenager, probably somewhere around the age of about 14 or 15, my brother Brandon and I had to share a bedroom downstairs at the house. And we had these two bunk beds, and they were right beside each other with kind of a nightstand in between them. And we had the whole downstairs area, and Mom and Dad were upstairs with Chad and Brooke. And I don't know what happened, but I had a horrifying dream. And when I woke up, somehow or another, I had gotten myself all wrapped up in my blankets and in my covers, and it was pitch black dark. And I got up and I'm like, ah, and I'm fighting with these covers and I'm swinging. Well, of course, you can imagine what's going through Brandon's mind. He's laying 3 feet away from me and I'm screaming in the middle of the night and I'm fighting these sheets and I'm standing up there. I look like a ghost and I'm beating in the air and I'm screaming and hitting it. And all I can feel is his hand reach up and he grabs me by the leg because he was ducked underneath the bed. And he reached up just, I got you, Chris. I got you, Chris. Completely terrified. I think I terrified him probably about as much as I was terrified. But I mean, that night I was screaming and hollering. I don't know what happened. Maybe you've had an example like that in your life before. Have you ever watched a scary movie that stayed with you? You know, I don't like to watch scary movies, to be quite honest with you. But I had a girlfriend once that liked them. And she wanted me to watch this scary movie with her and her family. And so, I'll watch this movie. Maybe some of you have seen it. It has the guy in it that's noted for being in scary movies, F. G. Scott or whatever. And he was in this movie, and it's called The Changeling. And if you've ever seen this movie, The Changeling, it's scary. It's not gory. I don't think there's very much bad. I can't hardly remember any bad language in it. But I'm telling you, it was creepy, and it stayed with me. And to this day, when I think about a scary movie, that movie comes to my mind because it was just weird and creepy and scary. You know, the Bible actually has some stories that had we witnessed these stories, likely would have made the hair on our neck stand up. There's some pretty scary stories. There's some things that have happened in the Scriptures that would make people afraid if they were there in those Scriptures and if they were there witnessing those things. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that scary movies are made of, right? All right, so, yeah, we missed it. That's the kind of stuff that horror movies are made of. All right. That's just my little visual effect so that this sermon will stay with you beyond tonight, okay? All right. But tonight, what I want to do is I want to introduce you to four of these stories. Four of these stories. You're about to hear tales of an unknown voice calling in the dark with dreadful news. A raised spirit speaking a message of doom. A disembodied hand writing a terrifying note on the wall, and a graveyard full of dead bodies coming out of tombs. Now you think about those stories, and all of these stories are accompanied with a haunting message. And that's really the thing that I want us to get tonight. These stories that have a haunting message from a spiritual perspective. Our first story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. You remember the story of Samuel, how that his mother so desperately wanted to have a child, and eventually God blessed her with one. And because she was given this child, and in agreement with God, she said, if you'll give me this son, then I will dedicate him to you. And so after Samuel is born and he's been with his mother a while and weaned, she carries him to Eli, who is a high priest. And in addition to that, he is a judge. And so Samuel is going to work there at the tabernacle. He's going to work at the tent of meeting there, serving Eli and serving the Lord. But there's a passage here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verses 1 and 2, that's really a sad passage of Scripture. We find here that because of the situation currently in Israel, the word of the Lord coming to Eli or to anybody at that time, it was rare. The word of the Lord was not coming to them at this particular time. And the reason for that is because Eli had allowed his sons, who were also priests, to take advantage of the people and to deal unjustly with them and even to be such vile and wicked guys that the people didn't really even want to come to worship. That's how bad it was. And Eli, the Bible says, had not restrained them. So God's not been speaking to Eli, because God has already sent a prophet, a man of God, to tell Eli, you know what? You've not restrained your sons, and bad things are going to happen to you and your family and to you. And the priesthood is going to be taken away from you. Well, one night, Eli's in bed, and Samuel is lying in bed as well. And it says that this transpired before the candle had gone out. Before the candle had gone out. Thank you, Stephen. I don't know that it's going to do me much good, but we'll give it a try. It was right before the candle had gone out. That light of the tent of meeting. Now, that was set up inside the tabernacle before the veil and before the Ark of the Covenant. And it was lit and it would burn from evening to morning. So from probably around 6 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock the next morning, it would burn. So the light had not gone out. It would burn all night. So it was still dark. And all of a sudden, Samuel hears his name called. Samuel. Samuel. He thinks it's Eli. So he gets up and he goes to Eli and says, hey, here am I. You called for me. And I said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Have you ever had an annoying kid come into your room about 15 times during the night? Hey, mom, dad, mom, no, would you leave me? Go lay down. You ever had that happen to you? I kind of get that sense here. It was like, man, why are you waking me up? I've had a long day. I'm exhausted. Go back and lay down. He goes back and he lays down. Samuel. Samuel. So Samuel gets up and he goes back and he says, here I am. You called me. I didn't call you. Go lay back down. Now, if that were me, I'd be getting a little nervous and maybe a little bit scared. I would probably say, hey, listen, you sure you don't have room for me to lay down here beside you? I don't really want to go back in that room by myself and hear voices. I'll tell you something funny. My dad told me the other day, we were having breakfast together, and he said, Chris, your mother and I cannot figure it out, but at 6:10 every morning, somewhere in this house, there is a music box playing Frère Jacques. Real faintly. Frère Jacques. He said, I don't know if it's in the attic. I don't know if it's in the wall somewhere or if it's in a closet. We cannot find it, but at 10 after 6 every morning, Frère Jacques, please. And that'd be pretty unnerving, right? Well, that's what I'm thinking about. Here you've got Samuel. So he goes back. The boy says, Samuel. He goes to Eli. At this point, Eli is picking up on, hey, this is probably the Lord trying to speak to you. So he says to Samuel on this occasion, go back, and when the voice calls for you again, you say, here's your servant. Speak, Lord. And so he goes back and he lays back down. And this time, says, the Lord stood there and said, Samuel, Samuel. Whew. That'd be scary there. Now all of a sudden somebody's there. Now, what's the haunting message? The haunting message from 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 14 is this. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And a little later he says, therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. That's a serious, haunting statement. See, Eli told Samuel the next day when he woke up, hey, I need to hear what message God gave to you. And he said, and I want you to make sure that you tell me everything he said. Don't you dare hold anything back from what he said. And Samuel told him. I don't know about you, but I think probably I would have turned white as a sheet. That's a haunting message. To think about your house, the iniquity of it, I'm going to bring it down, and no sacrifice or offering will be sufficient to atone for your sins forever. Here's scary story number two. It comes from 1 Samuel, or rather from 1 Samuel 28, 3 through 19. Now, in this story, we find where that King Saul is distraught. He has gone out and he has looked at the Philistine army that has come up against him and the Israelites. And he sees the volume of those individuals about to make war and he is scared to death. Now, God had not been speaking to Saul and there had been no word for Saul for a while. Samuel has already died. And so God's prophet is not with him any longer. God has rejected him already because of the sin that he committed in not putting those Amalekites to death like he was told to do. God has now had David anointed as king, and it's all but over for Saul and his household. It's just a matter of time. And so now Saul is very nervous and he's very scared, and he would love to have a word from the Lord. But see, he's put all of the necromancers and all the sorcerers out of Israel, or at least he thought he had. But some of his folks said, hey, how about you go see this witch in Endor? There's a woman in Endor. She can help you. So Saul disguises himself because all of those people had been put to death, those that had not escaped and hidden. And so he goes cloaked, and this witch of Endor wants to know who he would like to summon or what he wants. He says, I need you to call up the spirit of Samuel. And so she sees Samuel coming. And she realizes this is Saul. She says, you're Saul. And Samuel comes and he wants to know why it is that Saul has disturbed him. Why have you disturbed me? And Saul says, hey, there's no word from God. There's no word. Samuel tells him, God has rejected you. Now here is the haunting message from 1 Samuel 28, 3 through 9. The Lord has turned from you and become your enemy. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. That message haunted Saul so much that he fell down and was without strength. He lost all strength. You ever been so scared that your legs shook and you were quaking with fear and you couldn't do anything? You were frozen? That's what happened to Saul. Because he's just been told by Samuel, who has been brought back to give this message to him, that your time and your son's time, it's over. God is now your enemy. How would you like to hear that? that message might haunt you for a while. And sure enough, the next day, when Saul and his sons went out to battle, all of them were killed. They were with Samuel in the land of the dead on the next day. What about this message? Our third story. It's found in Daniel chapter 5. You got a king there named Belshazzar. He is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Babylonians. And now Belshazzar is throwing this big party, and he's got all of his royal party there and his concubines and wives and everybody else. And he decides, you know what? I would like for you to bring out the vessels that my father took from the temple in Jerusalem, and I want us to use those utensils tonight for our partying and carousing. And so they bring out the vessels, the cups, and all of those things, and they're drinking from them. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just a hand appears. And it begins to write a message on the wall. The Bible there says Belshazzar was terrified. He was terrified. And he turned white as, because the color went out of his face, the scriptures record. Because he sees just a hand in the middle of the air. How would you feel if you saw just a hand writing something on a wall? And he wants to know what the message is. And so he calls his enchanters and his astrologers and all of his magicians and the chief counselors and the people that he thought were wise in his kingdom that might be able to translate the message, and none of them were able to. And so now he's even more upset. His queen comes to the rescue. She said, hey, there's a guy that came in the captivity who is a Hebrew. And he has the gift of the gods to be able to interpret these things and tell dreams. And so he sends for Daniel, who was also called Belteshazzar. So Belshazzar is calling Belteshazzar, or Daniel. And so Daniel comes, and he recounts what's happened up to this point. He says, nobody's been able to interpret it. He says, and I have told the individual that can interpret this, I'm going to clothe you in purple. I'm going to give you a gold necklace. I'm going to make you a ruler in this kingdom. And you know what Daniel says next? He says, oh, king, keep your gifts. I'll interpret the dream for you, though, or the writing on the wall for you. I'll interpret it, but you can keep all your gifts. And then Daniel begins to talk to Belshazzar about some history, some family history that should have been known, or at least should have been remembered by Belshazzar. Daniel reminds him, do you remember that when your dad was the king, that he was a powerful, powerful king, and God had given him all the kingdoms of the earth, and he could put to death who he wanted to, he could spare who he wanted to, he was in charge of everything, but you remember what happened with your dad? He got proud and he got arrogant, and God brought him low. Brought him so low that he lost his mind and had a period of insanity where he thought he was a cow or an ox, and he would live out in the field and he would eat the grass, and dew was on him, and he let his fingernails grow out and his hair grow out until he came to understand who the true God and ultimate authority and power was. Till he realized who the Most High God was. And at that point, his reason returned to him. Daniel said, you should have understood that. You should have recognized this. But you haven't recognized it. And I love what Daniel has to say to Belshazzar here. Let's begin in about verse 22. And you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. You've not honored. Now, if that's not enough of a haunting message, here's another one. See, the hand begins to write. And it writes many, many. Tekel, Upharsin, or Perez in some translations. Daniel translates this, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. A haunting message. And you know what happened? That very night, Belshazzar was murdered. It's over. It's a haunting message. Your time has come to an end. Our final story is found in Matthew chapter 27, 50 through 54. We're at the scene of the cross. Christ has been hanging there in agony. And he shouts with a loud voice. And when they hear him shout out with a loud voice, they think that he's calling for Elijah. And so they go and they bring something for him to drink, and he refuses to drink it. And then it says he cries out one more time and he gives up the ghost. All this happened at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. Because there was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. From noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was dark. And then Jesus cries out. When he gives up the spirit, or yields up the ghost, as some would suggest, you remember what happens? It says that the veil of the temple was rent in two. That thick curtain that had divided the holy place from the most holy place from the time that those children of Israel left Egypt and constructed the tabernacle in the wilderness to the construction of the temple with the veil. It has been ripped in two, and the earth shook and the rocks broke. And what does it say? It says the bodies of the saints after Jesus' resurrection came out of those tombs and were seen in the city. What's the haunting message? I'll tell you what the haunting message is. There was a centurion and his soldiers who had been tasked with the responsibility of watching all of these things and observing the crucifixion. And you know what that centurion said? He said, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. And why is that a haunting message? I'll tell you, for those who do not accept Jesus Christ, for all of eternity, this message is going to replay in your mind. Truly, this was the Son of God. And you'll have to live with that in eternity. With the knowledge of knowing that the one that you had an opportunity to love and accept is the very one that you rejected, and he has been highly exalted, and he was the Son of God, in fact. And you have to live with that knowledge for all eternity. There's some scary stories in the Scriptures. And if we had been there to witness some of these things, I think we'd be horrified. And I hope that we'll think about our spiritual condition, and if we're not right with God, that it will motivate us right now to think seriously about getting our life right with God so that those haunting messages don't play in our mind over and over for eternity. So this evening, if there's someone here who's not a Christian, we want to beg and plead with you to serve God. things could have been different for the people in our stories tonight had they just trusted God and accepted Him. Wouldn't have had a problem with Eli and his household had Eli taught his sons and restrained his sons the way that he should have as the high priest and as the judge at that time. Wouldn't have a problem with Saul. It wouldn't be a haunting message for him had he obeyed God when he told him what he needed to do. Had Belteshazzar come to understand like his father who the Most High God was and honored him instead of becoming arrogant in his life and thinking he had all the answers and worshiping and serving the gods of gold and silver and all of those things. You know what? Wouldn't have that haunting message. And if we'll come to accept Jesus Christ, we won't have to live regrettably with the knowledge that truly He was the Son of God. And so tonight, if there's anyone here who needs to respond to the invitation, we beg and plead with you to come. Make things right with God before it's too late. While together we stand and sing.